Cairo, Seattle.
It's time to get schooled with a professor, John Clayton.
Joining us right now is Jordan Palmer on Schooled with a Professor. And, of course, the topic's going to be quarterbacks and training quarterbacks for the draft. And it's like there's nobody better positioned right now for this draft than Jordan Palmer. Why? He's got Sam Darnold and he's got Josh Allen. And before we start breaking into what you do to prepare quarterbacks for a draft and for a season and for everything else, you know, the one thing that I think is kind of interesting is that there's kind of a break with these two quarterbacks. And again, I'm obviously not asking to pick one group over the other, but it seems like you have your big, strong, hard-throwing guys that are going to be great down the line. That's, of course, Josh Allen and also Sam Darnold. And then you have your guys that kind of move around and maybe a little bit quicker in Josh Rosen and also Baker Mayfield. It seems like, and that's where I think teams are making a division. It's like you may have one team that wants Josh or Sam, maybe not in that order, Sam or Josh, or they may want the other two. Is that the kind of the way that you saw it as you're kind of setting up who you're going to work with and how this was going to go?
Well, you know, the process for how I kind of evaluate the players and decide who I want to really and pursue is it really starts with who they are as a person. You know, I think that there's a line on the sheet of paper on the left side of the line is you got to answer the question, is this young man still figuring out who he is? And on the right side of the line, does this young man know exactly who he is? And because I knew Sam so well, I mean, I met Sam in high school. And because I knew Josh so well, I got a chance to spend some time with him, Josh Allen. I knew definitively that those guys are rock solid in who they are as people because these guys are the face of a multi-billion dollar organization. They're the CEO, they're the president, they're all that. And essentially, a lot of people's jobs hinge upon that player's success. And if you think about it, in college, playing quarterback in college, it's a small percentage of that pressure. Now, a guy like Baker Mayfield, who won a Heisman and put his team on his back and had this unbelievable career and got Oklahoma as far as he did, they make a huge impact. But the responsibilities, the day-to-day responsibilities that any of these guys, Josh, Sam, the other Josh, Baker, the responsibilities these guys had in college compared to what they're going to be asked to do in the NFL is night and day. So I always start with, is this person absolutely defiant and they know exactly who they are as a young man? Or are they still figuring it out? And to be honest with you, John, I was still figuring it out at that age. I also wasn't a franchise quarterback. And so I start with that, and I knew so much about Josh Allen and Sam Darnold that I knew it was a great opportunity to add some great football on top of it. And, you know, in terms of your question, the guys who move around versus the guys who can drive it down the field, I actually think one of my favorite things about Sam and Sam Darnold and Josh Allen is I think they're both of those things. You know, Sam has so many off-schedule plays on tape where he just created and made something happen. But Josh Allen's like 240, and he's got some of those plays too where he runs full speed, stops on a dime, and cuts back and then throws the ball off balance really accurately. And I really do believe that the future of the quarterback position, particularly in the NFL, is the quarterback's ability to create time and space, be able to buy time in the pocket or get outside of the pocket and create time and space. The reason I believe that is because I think offensive line play is going to deteriorate significantly as we move forward. This 20-hour rule that the NCAA has, where the coaches can only spend 20 hours a week with their players, you know, that's going to negatively affect a lot of positions, but it's really affecting offensive line play. And there's always going to be a player like Quentin Nelson or a really talented tackle. Like, those guys are always going to come out. There'll be a Joe Thomas every couple years. But the majority of the O-line play is going to continue to deteriorate because these guys don't have the time that they used to do simple things like pass off twists or learn how to really pass set or really learn how to run block or play action block. And so a quarterback, in my opinion, I wouldn't touch somebody who can't move around and create and buy time because the whole idea of if we get this quarterback and we get a great O-line around him, he'll be good. I just wouldn't bet on that anymore.
You talk about the person, and I think the one thing that's come out since you started working with him, obviously because of the person, Sam Darnold did, I think, one of the more important things. Here you have the USC workout. It's starting to rain, and everybody wants to take everything inside, except one guy, Sam Darnold. And what was his line? It's like, well, I got to get ready to try to get to Cleveland. And so he went out there and then lit it up in his workup. Talk about that, you know, decision that he had to go in the rain and how well he did in the workout.
Yeah, you know, Sam is, he's just always the same Sam. And, you know, people can assume that, you know, he's from L.A. and he's you know, grew up in San Clemente, which is a really nice beach town and all that. But this is a blue-collar kid. You know, he didn't grow up with some huge life of amazing privilege or anything like that. So his parents are really, really hardworking. And so that was instilled in him at a young age. And so the idea that everything has to be perfect, you know, he just didn't grow up thinking that. And so now we have great weather out here, but the reality is he saw it as an opportunity. If it's going to rain, they wanted to move the workout up to beat the rain. And he's like, I mean, why? I want to go to Cleveland and we should throw in the rain, right? I was like, yeah, of course. But it was his decision. And does that mean that he should be the number one pick in the draft? Absolutely not, right? But I think a lot of quarterbacks, you know, to be honest with you, I think all four of those quarterbacks probably would have done that. But with that being said, for him to go and block it out, especially not throwing an Indy and then throwing on his pro day, meaning it all came down to that day. That was the only chance to really throw for everybody. I thought he really just stepped up. And one of the things that I've learned about Sam since high school is he doesn't really feel pressure. It doesn't register to him as pressure. And I've worked with a lot of sports psychologists over the years, and Trevor Moad, who's one of the best in the world, is a guy I work with regularly, works with all my guys. And usually that's a tool that you have to work really hard to develop. And somewhere along the lines, he just developed it naturally on his own. And I think it's a really powerful tool that you're going to have to use a lot being a franchise quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, the one thing I think people don't realize, I mean, in comparison to other quarterbacks coming into this league, isn't he not just the youngest in years, but he's one of the youngest ever?
Yeah, I don't have the stats in front of me, but that sounds about right. You know, he doesn't turn 21 until June. So, I mean, he's a young dude. You think about all the things he's capable of doing, except he can't go into a bar. It's like, it's hilarious to me. But yeah, I mean, just he's 20. But at the same time, when you draft a quarterback, you know, one or two, then you're not drafting him hoping that he pans out. You're drafting him and you're betting your job that he's going to be our quarterback for the next 10. And with that being said, you don't really draft them based off of his current age or his current maturity level. And Sam is incredibly mature for his age. You draft him for how they're going to be in 3, 4, 5, 6 years. And then against that, I think you got to manage, hey, how quickly can this guy play? And because Sam is so good off schedule at creating in the pocket and buying time and making things happen and throwing with anticipation, he's a guy who's going to really grow into a great pro. But I also think he's as ready as you can be to play at a young age. And I had a great vantage point over that training Deshaun Watson for the last couple of years.
No doubt. Talk about his skills.
Yeah, Sam, I think on the unique side, throws with great anticipation. He really throws people open. You know, in college, there's so many pure progression concepts and pure progression passing systems that you really just throw to the open guy, you know, 1 to 2 to 3 to 4, you kind of go through your progression. And Sam just had such a knack for throwing guys open, you know, feeling that defender, but seeing the receiver and throwing them to the open spot and doing it consistently. You know, because Josh Allen's arm is so crazy and it's well documented, and I've been on record saying I think it's the strongest arm I've seen, Sam has a hose, too. I mean, I watched them throw together side by side for 3 months, and yes, Josh has an absolute howitzer, but Sam has a big-time arm, too. I mean, he drives it all over the place. He's got it all on tape. He's done it in person. He's done it in these private workouts. And so I think he's got plenty of arm talent. And then, you know, just I don't know what his 40 time is, but it's less relevant. He's so good in the pocket. You know, he's always on balance. But when he is off balance, he can throw the ball accurately. And so I just think he's a really good mix of mobility, arm talent, and anticipation, I think are three things you just absolutely have to have if you're going to succeed at the next level.
Call Call the local mortgage company who cares, Keel Mortgage. With timeless values and timely advice, Keel Mortgage has a longevity and experience to make all of your home purchase dreams come true. 888-778-KIEL or keelmortgage.com, CL53969. I was still stunned going back to the combine. I was able to get into the quarterback workout and watch the one throw that Josh Allen made to his left. I mean, it was really 77 yards because it was a five-step drop, which I'm still kind of figuring out. Why are they doing five-step drops on seven-step drop plays? But again, he fired that thing so far downfield, and it moves so well. That arm is incredible.
Yeah, he's got some unique stuff. I hadn't really seen it before, and from a reference point standpoint, reference point to your listeners, I mean, I played with my brother for 4 years in his prime. I played with Jake Cutler. I actually grew up with Jamarcus Russell, going to the Elite 11 with him as a ball boy in high school, and then we came out the same year together. And I've thrown with a bunch of arms, been around Stafford, been around these guys. Josh is unique. But at the same time, Josh has more tempo than people think. He has the ability to control it. All Senior Bowl week, they were wowing at these big-time throws where he's driving it down the field, and then he gets in the game and he throws two touchdowns, and they were just firm with an arc, layered right to a perfect spot. He has that too. And with Josh, I think his foundation being that he grew up on a farm, it's well documented. But when you grow up on a farm, you have to just you're responsible for doing it yourself. You fix it. They don't call plumbers. They don't call electricians. They have a problem. They learn how to fix it. And then when that problem arises again, they fix it. And when you're the oldest boy in the family, like Josh is, you fix it. So just the idea of him being a problem solver, just inherently sewn into him, I think is really powerful. And I think it's a really cool thing. But in terms of his physical gifts, I mean, he's 6'6", 240, and he's really fast. And I don't know that he's really any slower than Deshaun Watson. They had the same trainer. They ran the same times. They, the same opinions on him, same sets of eyes on him. He's that type of speed. And he can stop and start. He's a freak.
He really is. I mean, how did he develop that arm? I mean, because, again, it's like if he's on a farm and all that stuff. I mean, because, you can see that it's just so natural. And, again, the comparables on the field are to Carson Wentz. But, again, that arm is just incredible.
Yeah. That's an easy comparison with Carson Wentz. I think there are different enough people. There's enough. I know Carson really well. I think there's a lot of differences between those two guys, too. I think Josh has a much stronger arm than Carson. But Carson also he had different experiences, right? I mean, he won national championships at a lower level, but he had been a part of these programs where he threw to receivers. They may not have been NFL guys, but they were as good or better than the opponent. And so Josh was definitely in a very different circumstance. I do not think it's a clean comp. And, if I was just the guy who's promoting my guys, then I'd say, oh, yeah, he's exactly like Carson Wentz. But no, there's a big difference. There's a bunch of differences. But I think from a comp standpoint, he does make the most sense. In terms of how he developed it, I don't think it's just straight up the cleanest mechanics you've ever seen, and that's why. I think there's just a lot of natural juice in there, and I've watched him show up with this big, strong arm, and day one go, how do I get better? And day two go, okay, now how do I get better? Day three, he is just obsessed with trying to get better, trying to improve, and trying to fill in whatever gaps are in his game, and that type of relentless pursuit towards perfection is similar to Carson Wentz, and I think that he'll have a similar start to his career that Carson had.
And then finally, what do you do when you take a quarterback and try to get him ready for a draft?
When I work with these quarterbacks, it's everything is about helping them become a triple threat. Triple threat meaning on the mental side, the physical side, and the emotional side. So if I were to ask these quarterbacks to write down their list of their favorite quarterbacks, it would be the same group. It'd be Breeze. It'd be Brady. It'd be Phillip. It'd be my brother, Eli, Russell Wilson, same kind of guys. And let's use Drew Breeze as an example. Okay. So on the physical, mental, and emotional side, on the physical side of being a triple threat, look at Drew. Drew knows a couple of things. One, mechanically, exactly what he needs to be doing, which coach he needs to get with to help with that. He knows exactly nutrition standpoint, what needs to put in his body and not put in his body. He knows the regimen for the off season, the training program, physically, flexibility, all that. So physically, Drew is in complete control. He knows exactly what he needs to do. He does it each year. On the mental side, again, using Drew as an example, he knows everything that he needs to know about his offense, but he also knows how to install new things, how to develop players, the younger players, teach it to the receivers, teach it to the O-line. He knows all the intricacies of what's happening on defense. In the offseason, he's doing breakdowns and studies. He knows the new trends that are going to be happening in the NFL from a defensive standpoint. So mentally, guys like Drew being a triple threat, they really know what they know offensively, defensively, on the mental side, and they also know where there's holes and where they need to fill them. On the emotional side, this gets into who they are as people. Again, that list, Drew, Carson, Phillip, Russell, all those guys, off the field, these guys are rock stars. They're amazing husbands. They're amazing fathers. They're philanthropic. They have charities. They raise money. They give back to their communities. They speak at different deals. So marketing-wise, they associate themselves with good brands. They do good deals. And so really, a triple threat is somebody who can own the physical, the mental, and the emotional side. And when I get 3 months with these guys, I get an opportunity to help push them down all three of those things. So, for example, Sam Darnold needed to come out of his skin a little bit more, right? He's totally fine being a big part of the conversation, but not having to dominate the conversation. But when you go through the draft process, you have to dominate conversations. So we had him speak at charity events. It's a great thing for him to learn about it, make relationships in Southern California where he's going to live for the rest of his life when he's done. But also get really good at speaking. We have one tonight. I'm driving to LA right now. We have a deal tonight where I'm moderating it. He's speaking, 500 businessmen, right? And so we really try and through this whole process pour into all three of those areas. And that's why it's so fun for me, you know, with Sam and Josh, to watch them grow in all three of those areas, as opposed to set up a bunch of throwing drills and do them over and over again every day.
It's great to see the work that you're doing, and it's going to be great to see it in a couple weeks when the draft comes up. And I get the feeling that one of your guys will be taken number one, but I won't ask you which one. Hey, Jordan Palmer, thanks for joining us.
Thanks a lot, John.
And that does it for this week's podcast. In between episodes, you can follow me on Twitter at ClaytonESPN. If you enjoy these weekly one-on-one conversations, consider leaving a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to the show. Thanks for listening. See you next time on Schooled with a Professor.